Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. It does feel like a little bit of a weird week, at least in terms of our normal schedule. You know, we have a routine and a regimen just like football players, but when they play on Monday night, it throws things off just a little bit. But we did get a chance to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. I got a chance to talk to him earlier today. We'll play that for you coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We got a lot to get into. We'll kind of look back still just a bit to their Monday night football game against Jacksonville. We'll start the process of looking ahead to Sunday night football against the Detroit Lions. We got a lot to get into in today's show. We'll talk a little bit of college football as well, as I think Missouri is playing the biggest game that they've had in the SEC in probably a decade. You'd probably have to go back to the home game against Texas A&M, in which Johnny Manziel, his last college game, I think, to kind of point to it. But this is a massive weekend for a lot of the local teams. Missouri has a massive weekend, and the Chiefs obviously have a big game on Sunday night football against the Detroit Lions. We'll get to the Chiefs here coming up in just a bit, but I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most important, I need you to remember that the open of the show is brought to you every day by our friends over at The Other Place. If you're looking for somewhere after work today to get yourself a bite to eat, grab something to drink, maybe watch a little playoff baseball, the best place to do that is with our friends over at The Other Place. So I want to play this audio to kick things off from Jeff Saturday on ESPN's Get Up. Now, I believe the Chiefs are going to make the postseason. I have not pressed the panic button yet, but it is interesting to me that this is becoming a conversation nationally as the Chiefs have started the season 2-3. Here's Jeff Saturday on ESPN's Get Up.
They will be in the playoffs. This is too good of a football team to not make the playoffs. Here's the difference between when we're talking on these shows. I look at them through the lens the same way the Eagles, as winning a Super Bowl, not making the playoffs. Yeah. They're going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, ain't nobody want to face them come playoff time, right? So it's a different mentality. We are judging them on a different standard than everybody else. Even the Broncos, as exciting as you would be to make the playoffs, that's exciting. That's not exciting for the Chiefs. They will make the playoffs. They will be explosive. They're going to add Rice. They're getting things back. They played physical against Jacksonville, who's a very good defense. They're going to be good.
That was Jeff Saturday on ESPN's Get Up. I think the Chiefs are in a very unique spot that maybe only Philadelphia is in, and it makes sense because these are the two teams that went to the Super Bowl last year. the Chiefs feel like they are in a place in which we think to them as the team they have been over the last 5 to 6 years, I think you'd be foolish not to. We have seen a lot of seasons or times where the Chiefs have had some ups and downs and come out on the other side. We've also seen where the Chiefs have really started to hit their stride in November and December and start playing their best football. It's still relatively early in the season. Now, it is getting close to not being early, and after this game, you will be a third of the way done with the NFL season. But I think we've always looked at this as their season kind of has two parts. It was the first 6 games minus Rashee Rice, and can the Chiefs stay afloat? Can they be 3-3, or could they have possibly been 4-2 heading into that stretch to really set yourself up for the second portion of your season, which you get back your number one playmaker, your offense is starting to gel a little bit, and you'll go from there. So a lot of those things are still very, very much in play. So I think on one side, we look at the Chiefs for the team that they've been over the last 5 to 6 years, and I think that's a great position to be. I also think we look at them through a lens of what we expect them to be in that portion of the season that I'm talking about. We've seen this team every year really start to figure some things out once the weather starts to change and really start to gel and become one of the better teams in the National Football League. But I think that puts them in a very interesting place as we sit here right now, and their 2 wins are against the Giants and the Ravens. The Ravens, who have been one of the more disappointing teams in 2025, and a Giants team that is probably going to pick in the top 5 of the NFL draft. I think the biggest takeaway that we have so far this season in the National Football League is the AFC as a whole. We are starting to get more and more clarity of the contending teams and who could potentially pop up. We didn't think this at the time, but I think it's going to end up being the case. That game against the Indianapolis Colts is going to be super, super important. Now, I don't think they are going to be the one seed, but we have certainly seen times before where the one seed in the AFC kind of comes out of nowhere and ends up surprising you. Well, wouldn't it be a team that we think is in a down division that could really eat up and rack up wins? Like, if you're looking at the Colts' next month of games, they got Arizona, they got the Chargers. Who knows what version you get with the Chargers? They play Tennessee and they play Pittsburgh. Like, the Colts are in a very unique position this year, I think, to be 13-4 and find themselves as just one of those weird teams that end up having home field advantage. Now, in no way do I think you'd be afraid to go on the road to the Indianapolis Colts and to face Daniel Jones, but that is just a possibility. There are only 3 teams right now in the AFC that have 4 wins. You've lost to one of those teams in the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you play the other 2 teams later in the season in Buffalo and Indianapolis. So even though right now the Chiefs have taken a couple of defeats and been knocked down a little bit, they still have so many important games left on this schedule. Aside from the Sunday night game against a team that's in the NFC in Detroit, you still play the Indianapolis Colts. You still play Buffalo. You still have your 2 games against the Denver Broncos. You still play the Chargers. So there are still a lot of really important games that are left for this team. I think the conference is maybe a little bit more balanced than we thought. I think Buffalo, at least so far, has proven to be the best team in the AFC. But Jacksonville just got a nice win on Monday Night Football. The Colts, we're talking about them. They look like they could possibly be a good team. And I think, at least most importantly, the division feels like it's very, very competitive. This is a team that has won this division in each of the last 9 seasons, and very rarely has it even gone to December. You can think of 1, 2, maybe 3 times where this has been a very competitive division late and the Chiefs really desperately needed to get a win. I think they're going to end up being in that spot where you're going to have to win the game late in the season against the Los Angeles Chargers. You're going to have to win the game on the road at Denver coming up after the bye week. This division, I think, is very, very competitive, where you got 3 different teams that each have a claim to possibly being the best team in the division. I also think this conference right now is starting to kind of separate itself, where you're starting to get a feeling of, hey, who's the contenders? Who do you think's going to be in the playoffs? And who's kind of separated themselves as the teams that are not? I think if you really look, Rob, if we really go through the division and you look at the conference now at this point, I mean, there's a handful of teams that we can all but eliminate. I don't think there's a scenario, at least for me, I don't see a scenario in which Houston makes the postseason this year. I just don't think they're that kind of team. Cincinnati right now is 2-3, but they obviously have quarterback issues. If you got to go get Joe Flacco to save you, you're in a little bit of a rough spot. Baltimore, very disappointing. Miami, Cleveland, Tennessee, and the Jets. I mean, we're not even at the halfway point yet, but I think you can identify the eight teams that realistically have a chance of making the postseason in the AFC, and there just doesn't really appear to be much separation between those teams. Like, if the playoffs started today, Kansas City wouldn't be in the playoffs. Obviously, a lot more time to go, but the wild card teams would be Jacksonville, Denver, and New England. Those are the teams that you're going to have to deal with and going to have to compete with the rest of the way. So I think as we're here and we're in a little bit of a transition week, some of this is just kind of taking a look at the landscape of the AFC. Where are you at from a top to bottom standpoint? Where are you at in regards to the division? And this just feels like one of the few times, Rob, that the Chiefs just feel like they are in the group. Usually they've been at the top of the leaderboard. They've usually been the team that everybody else is chasing. But in a golf tournament analogy, they're not the one right now that's sitting there at the leaderboard. They're a couple strokes back, and you are waiting for them to kind of make that push down the stretch and to potentially be one of those teams. We'll obviously see if Kansas City can be that team. They've been that team in the past. But if the Chiefs are going to win the race, so to speak, it's just going to be a much different path than we've seen them take over the course of the last 9 years in the AFC West and also in regards to the rest of the conference. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to go through some of the national conversations around the Kansas City Chiefs as we start to shift towards Sunday night football at home against the Lions. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. We began today's show playing audio from Jeff Saturday. He was asked if he thinks the Chiefs are going to make the postseason. Now, I think the Chiefs are going to make the postseason. I think things steady out a little bit as they get Rashee Rice. I also don't think the Chiefs are going winless in one score games the way that they have so far this season. And I think regression is going to happen on both sides. Last year, I think it's safe to say that the Chiefs probably played over their skis a little bit in the regular season. And if you go 11-0 in one score coin flip kind of games, eventually things swing back towards the other side. So far this season, they are 0-3 in those games. I don't think the Chiefs are going 0-7 this season in one score games. I think they're too good on offense, or at least developing into a team that's pretty capable capable on offense. I think they're too good on defense for the most part. They're too well coached. They're too proven. Things will even themselves out a little bit. I am taking a look right now with the AFC and trying to make sense of this thing. Well, right now, not a lot really seems to be clear. Like, if you were looking at the teams right now, Rob, that lead their division, I would say three of the teams, I would say in general, the public does not believe in. The public doesn't believe in the Indianapolis Colts, and I certainly get it. Their quarterback is Daniel Jones. The public doesn't believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers. The public also doesn't believe in the Los Angeles Chargers. At least right now, as we are about a third of the way so far through the NFL regular season, there really aren't a lot of things that you can say pretty definitively at this point. And maybe it is an overreaction to what we just saw this past weekend in the National Football League that kind of flipped things upside down. But a majority of the teams that we thought were going to be the heavyweight teams in the league, they're not as good as we thought they were going to be. Green Bay was off to a great start, handled the Lions. Last two games for them, very, very shaky. They lost to the Cleveland Browns and then tied the Dallas Cowboys. The Ravens are 1-4 right now, and it doesn't look like they're going to have Lamar Jackson for their game. The Chiefs are off to a little bit of a slow start. Philadelphia, even though they're 4-1, I don't think that many people have been impressed with them and how they've looked so far. A lot of the returning heavyweight teams that you were expecting to kind of carry and dominate the league, they don't really look the part right now. And as the young upstart teams or the new fresh teams and the turnover of the league is happening, I think we're all trying to figure out right now who's good and who's not, who's a contender and who's a pretender.
I think, I don't know if this is good or bad news for the Chiefs. I think in years past, especially in Kansas City, we've noticed there is a class of, those are Super Bowl teams. And that class still exists, but usually that class was carrying four, five, six teams at some point. Like, at this point last year, the Chiefs were in this group. The Bills were in this group. The Eagles had started to separate themselves and show they are part of this group. The Lions were in this group at this point last season, at this juncture in time. Like, that's four teams. I don't think that grouping this year has four teams. Now, the group below, it's kind of what we've talked about throughout the week. There's a group of teams in the AFC and the NFL that you can just poke holes in their resume, and we're basically at the quarter pole pretty easy. And for the first time since, I guess, 2021, when the Chiefs started 3-4, the Chiefs are part of that middle pack, and that's why I think it's murky. I don't think there's some turnover and the new young guns are taking over the divisions, but people have questions about the Jags. Well, they're 4-1, but their questions are the schedule game and their quarterback. I just watched the Jags. Those are fair questions. You mentioned the Colts. A lot of the same questions exist for the Colts when we play the schedule game of them. The Steelers, it's not the schedule game. It's not a quarterback we don't know, but he's 41 years old. How much of that is real? The Chargers, some people are questioning the Chargers, which I think is somewhat fair considering they're starting to take on a lot of water with their health. Like, I mean, look at, they lost Alt, they've lost Hampton, they've lost Najee Harris. Like, they are starting to take on water with their health, which always seems to happen to the Chargers. Like, I think there's just a lot of teams in the league this year that are part of that, we call it the wash. There's so many teams in that grouping, and I think in a fun way for fans, we don't know what the Super Bowl will look like, but it's good for Chiefs fans because they're in that grouping, but it's bad because usually the Chiefs are in the grouping of you feel like you know what they are at this point, and I don't know if anyone knows what they are at this point.
Let me ask you this, and I understand that we are a long way away from this. Do you think that the AFC is kind of capable of a random quarterback? Because we've gotten those in the NFC. Like, Nick Foles started in a Super Bowl. Rex Grossman started in a Super Bowl. It doesn't really feel like we've had that quarterback in the AFC probably since 2012, where I think you would say that just one of those years that you can't really explain. Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens. No one looked at Flacco like he was one of the better quarterbacks. I mean, Peyton Manning's in the league at this time. Tom Brady is in the league at this time. The AFC, Ben Roethlisberger's in the AFC at this time, and it's pretty established. The Ravens, they go on the road, you remember. They beat the Broncos on the road with the long touchdown pass, and the Ravens end up going to and winning the Super Bowl this year. We talk about the AFC so much and the quarterbacks at the top for good measure. You got Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, all of those things. Well, Lamar's hurt right now. Joe Burrow's out for the remainder of the season. So at least the dominance that we expected at quarterback in the AFC has shifted so far in the first quarter of the season or so. Do you think that the AFC is capable of having one of those teams that just randomly pop up in the 1 year? Because that would be the Indianapolis Colts. That would be the Broncos. That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that was not on anybody's Super Bowl radar at the very beginning of the season that just exceeded all of their expectations. We look up and it's the second Sunday in February and we're like, wait, hold on. How did the Indianapolis Colts make it to the Super Bowl? They've had those teams in the NFC. It's been a while since that team has existed in the AFC.
I think it's 100% possible because I feel like those random quarterbacks have been on the doorstep a bunch. And I know we talk about, you know, eventually you break through. We talked about it with, you know, Josh Allen, all these things. Maybe the answer to breaking through is a random quarterback. Because if I go through all the AFC title games, it's not like every AFC title game in the history ever is Manning and Brady and Allen and Mahomes.
You got a lot of Blake Bortles and Ryan Tannehill, for sure.
A lot of Blake Bortles and Ryan Tannehill.
Those guys always end up losing in the AFC championship 100%. Game, though.
But now I think this season there are more of those random quarterbacks because Allen Mahomes, check and check. We don't know that Jackson's going to make the playoffs. He's not healthy. We don't think Burrow's going to make the playoffs. He's not healthy. The rest of the landscape is kind of that hodgepodge of randomness.
Like, you're right, because then looking at it to kind of further your point, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 41 years old. Trevor Lawrence has never really competed at this level for a reason to think that you could do it. Bo Nix is in his second season. Drake May shows some promise, but I don't know if that Patriots roster is ready to make a move. You're right. Like, now that you've cut the quarterback power in half, it feels like, where you had a big four, now it's a big two. I mean, who's the third best quarterback right now in the AFC? If I asked you right now, playing this upcoming Sunday, who do you think is the third best quarterback in the AFC behind Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen?
I mean, it's crazy to say this.
The answer might be Daniel Jones.
I think the answer is Daniel Jones.
The answer might be Daniel Jones.
I mean, as far as playing the best, yeah, it's Daniel Jones. Like, which, if you have him at three and he's a division leader, he would be in this hodgepodge of random conversation. So I think the fact that that other group, the miscellaneous, the, you know, close but no cigar group has so many people in it, and there's so many of those types of teams in the AFC. Maybe it's not Josh Allen who breaks through and eventually topples Mahomes 1 year. Maybe it is a random player like Daniel Jones, who I was listening to one of the shows this morning. I think it was Get Up. Maybe it was First Take. Lewis Riddick was saying he might be an MVP candidate, which just boggles my mind, but and it's wrong. But
I'm not putting Daniel Jones in the MVP conversation before we get to Christmas time.
If they gave out the award in week five, he would probably be the week five MVP.
Like, I think that, it actually would be Baker Mayfield if I mean, I had to pick. Yeah, I'd have over Baker
fair.
Right now, yeah.
But my point is, like, if he's playing the best, he could randomly do it. He has playoff success. He has a pedigree. I mean, I think that might be the answer. There's a lot of randos in the quarterback category in the AFC.
No, for sure. It absolutely is. Let me play this audio for you guys. This was Dominique Foxworth. He was on the Get Up. Here's what he said about the Chiefs.
But when you put yourself in a situation when you shouldn't be there, sometimes you're not going to win. So I don't think the Chiefs are like decidedly worse team than they were last year. I don't think all of a sudden they forgot how to manage these big moments. I think sometimes the randomness bounces in your favor and sometimes it doesn't, which is why the Chiefs, their offense looks better. So I feel more confident in this Chiefs team than just this loss and their record looks like right now. Honestly, I feel a little bit more confident in this Chiefs team now than I did last year because I saw their offense be able to be explosive. I know they'll get the defense figured out. They can blow up teams on offense now.
That was Dominique Foxworth on ESPN's Get Up talking about the Chiefs. I'm not as down on the defense. I understand what happened on that final play. I think we have seen spurts of inconsistency from the defense, but I still think we're talking about one of the top 10 defenses in the National Football League and a defensive unit that if you want to talk about what usually gels in the second half of the season, it's normally the defense as they round into shape. There's normally there is a line of demarcation with the Chiefs defense. Usually there is a switch. Either Chamari Connor starts playing less, Noah Williams starts playing more, they figure this thing out, they make this adjustment. Like, we've seen them do that time and time before, and I think what most people are waiting for is when those two things converge. When you get back healthy on the offensive side and you get Rashee Rice back, it has now gone over a year since you've had Rashee Rice in the offense. We are quite literally 1 week away from him being able to practice with the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time since last season. So you'll get Rashee Rice back. You also hope to see the defense continue to progress and progress and progress. And if you can get those two things to come together and you can shore up some of the issues that you had on special teams so far, then I think you find yourself with one of the better teams in the National Football League, which is what you are accustomed to with this team in November and December. Rob, did you see this? Do you know how many different versions there are of Taylor Swift's album? Like, how many different versions? So there are like multiple vinyls. There's the acoustic version. Do you know how many different versions are available right now for you to purchase for Life of a Showgirl?
Well, the fact there's more than one is kind of astonishing to me, but I'll say five. There are five versions.
There are 28 different versions of the Taylor Swift album for you to be able to purchase. So if you go to Target right now, because Target is the exclusive carrier of the vinyl, they have a orange vinyl, they have a purple vinyl, they got a blue vinyl. Like, they are selling this thing to you 28 different ways. They just had an acoustic version, Rob, that was only going to be available on iTunes for 24 hours. You had to download it and buy it in the 24 hours. That was the only time that they were going to be able to sell it. How she has purposely repackaged this thing as many times over the course of 7 days like this has been a marketing masterclass is what we have seen. Why I am bringing that up. Now, I have not heard this song. I know about the song, but I never heard the song. I don't think I ever plan on listening to this song, because why would I? But to my understanding, Rob, and tell me if I'm wrong, there's a song on this album called Wood. And not like shoulda, coulda, would. I mean like wood, like a tree. Now, my understanding is that this song is about Travis Kelce. That's my understanding. Again, I haven't heard it. I can only go off secondhand information. I can only go off what I've heard. Now, I have heard one song from the album, that Ophelia song. Have you heard this song?
First off, I've heard Wood. I've also heard Fate of Ophelia, yes.
Okay, I didn't know it was called Fate of Ophelia. I did hear the Ophelia song.
It's not bad. That one's a little bit more boppy than the slow jams. I mean, that was more in your lane.
It sounded like Urban Outfitters music to me. It sounded like I should have been shopping for trousers. That wasn't really the kind of music that I listened to. But hey, if that's what you like, good for you. Not really for me. Not really the kind of bops that I'm looking for. But hey, if it got you moving and it got you ready to go through the aisles at Kohl's, I'm happy for you. That's the kind of music that it sounded like to me. That's neither here nor there. So Jason Kelce, brother of Travis Kelce, you know, they got a very popular podcast. And he asked him the question that we all want to know. Hey, there's a song about you. What's your reaction to the song?
Wood, great, great. Soundtrack. How do you feel about Wood? Let's ask this. How do you feel about Wood?
It's a great song.
It's a great song. Yeah. Do you feel like that? Do you feel cocky? Do you feel cocky about the song Wood?
No. Any song that she references me.
That's not just any song. This is a very specific you.
I love that girl. So what do you mean? Any song that she would reference me in any way?
Well, it's not just you, though. It's an appendage. It's not just you as a... What? It's a very specific thing.
I think you're not understanding the song.
You're out of your mind. Come on. Redwood tree ain't hard to see. I thought redwood was a little bit... That's a generous word, I think. I think if somebody wrote a song about me, it'd be like, Japanese maple sometimes can see...
You know what I really want to know more so than his reaction to the song? I mean, the song, at least from the lyrics that I've read, sound very flattering, you know? Like, she's telling the world that you handling business. Like, why would you be embarrassed about that?
Can you imagine if she wrote a song that was the opposite of flattering? She's like, my fiance, he's terrible. Like, yeah. Of course it's going to be flattering.
That'd be called Twig. That'd be a little different. That'd be a little different song. Wood sounds like strong, manly. This song could be called Twig. I just want to know, what was the conversation like when she was like, babe, I want you to hear this song. Like, you know, the same way that your wife comes home and wants to tell you a work story. Babe, let me tell you what Brenda did at work. And you got to sit down and listen to it. And, you know, you're like invested in the characters. You know, this is part of any healthy relationship, a good work story. I just want to know the conversation when she's like, babe, I want to play for you the song that I wrote earlier today. Like, yeah, of course. Like, let me play it for you. Well, all right. Like, I want you to keep an open mind about it. Like, of course. Like, you know, I love you. Hey, you know, I get it. You're working on this new project, working on this new album. Yeah, I want to hear it. That's what I want to know. I want to know, what was your reaction whenever she played for you this song, you're like, oh, yeah, that was about a couple nights ago. Yeah, I remember. That's what I really want to know. I want that version of the story. I want to know what it was like when she played it for you. There's some songs that I want to know the person's reaction. I want to know what Drake's reaction was the first time he heard Not Like Us. I imagine it wasn't a very fun time. I want to know what Travis Kelce's reaction was the first time that he heard Wood. The most famous woman in the world is out here telling everybody that you handling business, that you changed their life. You rocked their world. That's the kind of story that I want. That's what I want them to get to the bottom to on New Heights. I want to figure that out.
I mean, I imagine he was, you know, very happy. Like, if she comes to you and she goes, hey, honey, I have this line. It's about you. It's called Redwood Tree. It ain't hard to see. Do you think he's going to be like, no thanks? I mean, it's a very flattering song. It's not like, what was Ariana Grande's song? It was like Ariana Grande's song about Pete Davidson, where she says basically the same thing, except for hers is thank you next. Pete Davidson probably didn't like that because it was after a breakup, but I imagine if she comes home, she's like, hey, I wrote this song, and she shows you the lyrics, you think Travis Kelce's going to be like, hey, no thanks. They'd be like, oh, that's very flattering. Thank you. That's what I imagine transpired.
Yeah, no, I was just curious to know. I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I was very curious.
You haven't listened to the song yet?
I don't know if I'm ever going to listen to that song. And that's okay. I tell you all the time, everything doesn't have to be for everybody. I'm okay. I'm all right. You listen to it for me, and then you report back. Do you want to be our show resident Swifty?
Do we need
a resident Swifty on the show?
I don't know we need a full-time Swifty, but I've heard enough of the songs to have an opinion on the album, and it's a fun little bop.
What's the rule when you and your wife are in the car? How do you guys handle the music? Who controls the aux? Is it the person behind the wheel? Do you control the music? Like, I just want to know, in what scenario were you listening to this album? Was she like cleaning up and she was playing it and you're like, you don't really have a choice in the matter? Was she driving so you had to listen? When did you listen to Life of a Showgirl?
Well, as you know, I was gone on Friday. I was
took
a road trip to go up to a celebration of life.
You had to hear all 41 minutes of the album?
I heard a lot of the album, yeah. It was we were headed to Galena, Illinois, which is 6 hours. So okay. we had some time to kill once we kind of exited the Kansas City metro area. So that's when I heard it.
What's the standout records for you on there? What are the
Fatal
songs?
Ophelia is really good. I like Canceled. Canceled's a good one. Those are the two that popped my mind immediately. Wood stands out because it's just, when you think of Taylor Swift, you don't think of any of the lyrics she says in that song. None at all.
I got you. No, I didn't know. Godspeed to both of them. You know, I'm happy. Just two people in love, you know? I'm happy. We love love on this show.
I'm just going to put it out there. As a person in the media who loves the album, I would love a wedding invite. Just throw it out there.
Okay, you know what? We'll work on that for you.
I mean, if we can get Mitch Holthus into 1587, we might as well just get a wedding invite. That's the same. It's one for one.
For sure, 100%. Speaking of tight ends, this has nothing to do with what we were just talking about. This is just audio that makes me laugh. You guys know that Gronk, he is on NFL on Fox. And Emeka Egbuka, who was at Ohio State, now plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, he is having a phenomenal season. He might be the offensive rookie of the year. Gronk tried to pronounce his name this week, and this is how he did it.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbuka, going for over 100 yards. Emeka Egbuka. I'm getting confused.
There you
going
go.
Lights out once again.
We all mess up, but I'm sorry. That was funny to me. How he pronounced his name is hilarious. He wasn't close. I love when an announcer can't pronounce somebody's name. At this point in my career, I just know the words I can say and the words I can't say, and I've just given up. Like the quarterback for UCLA that used to be at Tennessee, I tried to learn his last name. I just can't do it. You know who I'm talking about. You guys know Nico. Nico I. You know who he is. Like, I got to try to pronounce. Come on now. Like, why put myself in that situation? I've practiced it. I couldn't do it. Life's about knowing what you can and can't do. Now, I can pronounce Emeka Egbuka. I mean, that's a pretty easy one. I'm surprised that Gronk got tripped up like this.
But Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbuka, going for overall.
Yeah, I mean, that was what I got. That's like whenever Charles Barkley couldn't pronounce Jonas Valanciunas. That was the one that used to get Charles. It got Charles for a couple of years. He just couldn't pronounce Jonas Valanciunas' last name. Just could not pronounce it. Rob, is there any name in sports that just trips you up? That you just, you know what, I've given up? Because I'm telling you, the former Tennessee quarterback that now plays at UCLA, I have just given up trying to pronounce his last name.
I don't think there's any off the top of my head I can think of. I'm sure the text line will point out one.
I'll give you another one, too, while you're thinking about it. Missouri, their former tight end, Albert O, another name. I just gave up on it. Like, I can't pronounce this. Like, come
Albert
on,
O was a bad one. I was
always impressed that Mike Kelly could pronounce his last name so well. Like, you just have an ability that I don't have, and I could acknowledge that. You guys know who I'm talking about if you're a Missouri fan. Albert O, I think he got drafted by Seattle, played for Denver for a little bit, bounced around the league for a little bit. He was a very productive tight end for Missouri. Had no clue how to pronounce his last name. He just Albert O to me. A-O, you know who I'm talking about.
I say most of the local ones that are tough, we just say them so often that they get into a rhythm. Like when the Chiefs first drafted Kingsley, Suamataia, I was in absolute prison with how to say that. But now, for all the wrong reasons, we've talked about him so much that I feel like I'm pretty good there. There's none that come to the top of my head that give me a real, real problem.
Someone on the text line says, if I was his father, I would be very embarrassed. Imagine if their kids hear this song. Come on, Taylor, it's trashy. I'm just going to point out that if you've listened to pop culture music, I don't think that this song about, I haven't heard it, so I can only comment so far. I just think there are far more vulgar and obscene songs than Taylor Swift's would. I'm going to go on that limb. I'm also just going to imagine that scenario. How do you think you got here? You know what I mean? Like, you didn't get here from a stork. Like, what are you talking about? So, no, I don't really have that much of an issue with it. I just, hey, you know what? She's a grown woman making grown woman music. That's all. That's all right with me, Taylor. I'm on your side. I tell you, even though I'm not a Swiftie, I got no issues with the Swifties. I don't got to be a part of every pop culture trend. Hey, have it. Hey, I want you to if you are happy with the 28 versions of her album that she's selling you, hey, go out there and have it. That's cool with me. Good for you.
A lot of people are saying Tua's name. I do refer to him as Tua.
I can pronounce his last name.
I
learned how to pronounce his last name. It took me a little bit, but I got Tua Tagovailoa.
The way he says it, I can't pronounce it that way.
I mean, I don't want to. Come on. I don't. That's too much. That's too much. That's way too much. Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa. Giannis's was a name. I learned that one. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, there's some people's name. Yeah, I practiced and I got it and I learned it. Yeah, but that one, I'm telling you, I can't do it. Someone said, C-Dot, I secretly feel like you've heard this song. I promise you, I've only heard one song from this album. I heard the Ophelia song. And it was okay. It was fine. It sounded like it was like a little pop tune. I feel like that'll be a nice little single for the Swifties. Nice little bop to it. It just sounded like Urban Outfitters music to me. It just sounded like a song I would want to hear while I'm out buying trousers. That's the kind of music that it sounded like to me. All right, coming up on the other side, we got something way more important than Sunday Night Football, more important than our Patrick Mahomes interview coming up at 3:15. We finally have an update on the New Orleans prison escape. I can't wait to tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to talk about Tyquan Thornton, who is off to a fantastic start to his Chiefs career. This is a story that I told you guys we were going to keep you updated on. Now, we didn't have an update for a very, very long period of time. You guys remember back in May, there were 10 prisoners in a New Orleans jail that escaped. Now, a couple of these individuals got caught pretty quickly. One of them got caught underneath a car in the French Quarter that I cannot imagine a worse place to try to hide from the police than one of the most touristy places in America, but that's where he was. And then the news started coming in little by little of more and more of these guys getting caught. One of these individuals ended up getting to Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge is like an hour away. It's like New Orleans is Kansas City, and Baton Rouge is like Lawrence in this analogy. So it's a little bit of a distance away, but it's, you know, it's obtainable to get there. There was one man who evaded police for quite some time. May concluded in June, July, August. I mean, the summer had completely gone by, and this man had still evaded police. Well, we have a conclusion to this story. Rob, hit the music! Authorities have captured escaped inmate Derek Groves in Atlanta, according to the Deputy U.S. Marshal, Brian Fair. Brian Fair confirmed on Wednesday afternoon that Groves was arrested in a home in Southwest Atlanta after a search that lasted several hours. Now, are we guessing, Rob, that they got a tip to where Derek Groves were? Because he had been evading police for quite some time there. At one point, I read a story that they were unsure if they ever were going to catch him. But they find him in Atlanta. They find the house that he was in. Now, in this story, it says they searched this house for 3 hours and still couldn't find him. I mean, talk about the ultimate hiding spot. The world's craziest game of hide and seek. He was in this house. They had information that he was in the house. They kicked down the door. They gassed the house. 3 hours they're looking for this man. They finally found him in a crawl space in the home basement. They gassed the property multiple times. For those of you that play Call of Duty, they just kept throwing him in there. Unlimited respawn. We know you're in here. You're coming out. Well, they got him now. He is back in custody. He escaped from jail on May 16th and was captured on October the 8th. Remained at large, but now they got him. I mean, he already was serving a life sentence. He was serving a life sentence for a second-degree murder. He opened fire at a Mardi Gras block party, killed two people, wounded several others. He also got charged with something different. They called him a cold-blooded killer, so they wasn't going to stop looking for this man. Oh, trust me, they was going to find you. And then they found you. Somebody turned him in.
100%.
No question in my mind, somebody that had been kind of putting you up
took the money.
And they took the 50 racks. 100% they took the 50 racks.
So that makes a good point. Why are you hiding out in Atlanta? You got to be in Mexico.
You got to hide where you know people.
That's the last place to hide. Don't hire where you know people. Those people will turn on you.
Well, I mean, you can't work. You need money to do stuff. I mean, you gotta go somewhere where you know people. I mean, I don't think this was some master plan. Like, he would be going somewhere. Like, people on the text line are saying, I would have been in Canada right now. I'd have been in Mexico by now. You gotta have a passport to do those things. You gotta have money to do those things. That's not what this doesn't sound like. This was Prison Break. This wasn't Michael Scofield that had a secret. This wasn't Shawshank Redemption, where he escaped prison but had a whole nother identity so he could just drive across country lines and now be in some place. Like, no.
Also, Andy Dufresne had a job in prison, which he had a lot of money from.
For sure.
We presume this guy was not the jail accountant on top of being a convict.
Somebody on the text line believes that he maybe was in a spat with his girl, and then his girl is the one that turned him in. This is not confirmed. We're just trying to guess how they eventually found that he was at this house. How did they find him?
I mean, someone had to turn him in. They had the exact location. This wasn't like, hey, we think he's in Atlanta. Let's start searching. This was like, he's at 123 Oak Grove. 100%. Let's get him.
This was like that scene on The Wire whenever Stringer Bell gives Bunny Colvin the exact address. And the fact that they kept gas in the house and were at the house for 3 hours, they were 100% confident you were somewhere in there and they weren't leaving until you came out. Because we've seen it before, and at least how on the television it works. They go in there, clear, he's not here. And then everybody goes away. Like, no, they were not going away. They had this information. This information was pretty credible. And you were going back to jail. So Derrick Groves, he had been on the road since May 16th. And he is finally now in custody. So.
I don't want to, you know, credit a convict or anything. How well was he hidden in that house for 3 hours transpired?
He said he was in a crawl space in the basement. So maybe he created something to hide down there. They just couldn't find it at first. But like, maybe the gas just got too much and just, I can't breathe.
I say, if it took 3 hours for them to find him in the house, 100% got a tip. They knew the house and they couldn't find him for 3 hours.
100%. That's the case. I want to play this for you guys. I don't want to spend too much time on this because, at least for right now, I'm a little frustrated with the Chiefs and the Royal Stadium conversation. There's just never any news. And then when we get a little bit of news, we act like it's the most important news. And maybe that's a cool thing to do in May and June when there's not a lot to talk about, but there's actually things to talk about. So why would I waste your time talking about the same theories that we've been talking about? It doesn't seem like it's a good use of anybody's time at this point. I want to play for you what Bob Fesco had to say. Here's what he said on the Chiefs in a late development.
The Chiefs are also going to put out an RFP, or an RFQ as they call it in their world, a request for a proposal is what an RFP is, to every other design firm in the world that has built stadiums to say, hey, we're going to potentially build new in Kansas. Show us your best effort. So they're going to go to every architectural firm in the world, okay? And they're telling them, other than Populous, who's working on a renovated Arrowhead, they're going to every architectural firm in the world, give us your best people, give us your best design, put your best foot forward, let's see what you got. And those are four stadiums potentially in Kansas right now, right? The renovation is what's staying in Missouri. A new build would be in Kansas. So they're getting the best of both worlds. They're doing all of their due diligence. Give us your best foot forward on renovation. Give us your best foot forward on new in Kansas. And so the news is they're still talking to both sides of the state line. Now, I have heard and been told by multiple reliable sources that if the Chiefs wanted to build a stadium in Kansas today, they already have multiple sites that they currently own where they could build a brand new stadium today. And the other thing that is out there, and we've talked about this, the Kansas City Chiefs have had long, in-depth conversations with the Olathe School District about building their practice facility out in Olathe and getting in together with the school district to make it a learning experience and a learning environment for the Olathe School Districts.
I swear to you, I do not mean this in any way to belittle Bob Fesco's reporting. Bob is a friend, a colleague. I really don't mean it this way. At this point, what is happening, this will be like if your wife came up to you and told you she got options. Well, of course you do. Like, there's no shortage of people that want to sleep with your wife. I know, I'm not saying she would, But I'm telling you, there is no shortage of people that have given the opportunity would. So, yeah, I know. The Chiefs, there's no shortage of places in the city that would be very happy to have the Chiefs, and they are keeping all of their options open and talking to everybody. We've known this now for 18 months. We've known this. Wherever the Chiefs want to build their stadium, they would tear down Sprint Center to build the stadium right there if that's where the Chiefs wanted it to be. So, yeah, I got it. Yeah, you like here. Yes, you're going through all of the options, and you'll make a decision that's in the best interest of our franchise. Yes, we know. I got it. Let us know when you guys make a decision. Now, they continue to drop enough breadcrumbs that they plan on building a new stadium in the state of Kansas. That's to me the news. But we've known that now for a year. The Chiefs are going to Kansas, and they will probably announce it after the Super Bowl. That's probably what will happen. They'll announce it in March or April that they have concluded and they've done all their due diligence. I mean, we're talking about this is a year since they had us fill out that questionnaire. They've been doing this for a very, very long time. So I get it's a long process. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar situation. So I get why they're taking their time, but it's just an update to tell us that they're still thinking. We know that. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk about Tyquan Thornton, who is off to a great start in his Chiefs career. We'll also play for you our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.